News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. The state of the Biden camp. We'll examine that here in the first as we open up the 8 o'clock hour. A lot of different angles of that story to get to. It's many, many stories, and all kind of we'll try to roll them into one. By the way, the report that Kane had about the school bus and the auto accident, no children on that school bus, he reported earlier. So I think that's notable for sure. Mm-hmm. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, text line is open, 251-343-0106. Even if you want to give us a call, you can.
Yeah, and as far as the Biden stuff, let's get to that. And then later on in the hour, we'll lay out all of the different fireworks shows and Independence Day events in our area, and plus more on the way.
Sports clips owe me a free
cut.
Yeah. They may.
That might be the most...
In retrospect.
That might be the most divisive segment we have this morning a little bit later on.
The whole thing caught me off guard.
Yeah, I would say so. I was frustrated for you, honestly.
Because when I get back, then I was like, wait a minute, what happened there? So anyway...
Yeah, we'll get into that. I guess I should lead this hour off by telling you that... And I'm trying to find the exact tweet. I kind of went by it earlier. But, you know, they have these betting markets for... politics,
yeah.
Just like they do sports. And one of these sites is specifically dedicated to political gambling. I know that, you know, you have your sports books that have a tab where you can bet on elections and things of that nature. But this is where there's actually more big money. And they actually have Kamala Harris, the vice president, as the betting favorite slightly over Joe Biden to be the Democrat nominee as of this morning.
Wow.
She's trading at better odds to be the vice president than Joe, to be the presidential nominee than Joe Biden is. And it makes sense, as yesterday, really the floodgates kind of opened. And, well, let's say there's a crack in the dam. And it's getting bigger and bigger.
Does it feel a little orchestrated? Like you go first?
I don't know how.
Aside from just standing away from the crowd or stepping out there and, you know, maybe into it, but they're kind of gauging their political futures as they do this, too. These are players on their way up,
yeah,
right?
And it's the people, like always, that have less to lose.
Less to lose, right.
That are the first to jump,
yeah.
Right? And we saw that
but
with...
maybe more to gain.
Less to lose, more to gain. Thinking more about down-ballot races involving people who are in more... moderate states or are facing a higher climb to defeat their Republican opponent coming up in November. And two of those, well, I could say Jared Golden from Maine. So you had yesterday, it started with two House members.
One in Texas, one in Maine.
Yeah, Doggett in Texas, who went on CNN and was the first to call for Biden to step down. Texas Democrat Representative Lloyd Doggett. Then in an op-ed in the Bangor Daily News, you had Maine Democrat Jared Golden, who became the second elected Democrat yesterday to call on Biden to withdraw from the race. He seems to have his head on straight, and I don't know anything about this Democrat, Jared Golden, but just from what he said in this op-ed, he's not acting insane, okay? He says... Biden's disastrous debate performance last week was not a surprise, and it didn't rattle him as much as it had others. We've spent this whole week saying, how are these people this rat? Like, how did they not know,
mm-hmm.
right? But Golden knew. He said, the outcome of the presidential election has been clear to me for months. While I don't plan to vote for him, Donald Trump is going to win, and I'm okay with that. That's what this Democrat said. And this is what I like best. He rejected the premise that democracy itself was at stake should Trump win the election. Quote, unlike Biden and many others, I refuse to participate in a campaign to scare voters with the idea that Trump will end our democratic system. He said the U.S. has survived far worse.
That's the playing card they're using.
And, it is.
And it's only going to get played up bigger and bigger and bigger as we get closer to November, especially with the disastrous debate by Biden, because mm-hmm. now the focus is on him.
Yes.
Well, how do you get the focus off of him and back onto this Trump? You paid him in the very, very worst possible way, and somebody who would destroy our democracy, that's like Godzilla.
Yeah, and whether you want to say it's the chicken who said the sky is falling or the boy who cried wolf, you know, because the Democrats have been saying for, let's see, it's 2024, 8-9 years that Trump is the worst person on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
He's Hitler. He's this, that. They sure could have used some of those cards this week. They've already blown it, right? They've already used up all their Trump is bad credit.
Trump's already given us 4 years of evidence that it's not, he's not that insane.
Exactly. So they don't have that to turn to get the heat off of Biden right here.
That's what they're trying with.
You had an Illinois congressman, Democrat, Mike Quigley, yesterday on CNN, and he didn't outright call for Biden to withdraw, but this is what he had to say.
The best case scenario is the polls remain the same in states where he's behind. Well, he's got to catch up. He's got to improve. And is he capable of meeting the rigors of that task?
There were three devastating articles, at least, yesterday that I read. Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and Axios, that had, you know, people within the Biden White House and other folks who are allegedly pretty close to the president who were all really kind of letting it all air out and saying that this has been a problem for a long time, just like so many of us have known. And I encourage you, I don't want you to spend your weekend reading that kind of stuff, but it was bad. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Axios, I think the Washington Post put something out there, and he's lost, I don't know if he's completely lost, but Pelosi and Obama, who I still think are probably the two most listened to voices in the Democrat Party, are now at least on the fence, if not privately beyond that.
Over the weekend, they were not on the fence. They
came out in
Joe
support.
Biden. Right.
So right.
This has all been this kind of slow erosion that's happened in the last 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm. And meeting with Democrat governors today, a call that they'll be on because they're saying, hey, we're on the ballot too, in many cases. We haven't heard from the president. He hasn't talked to us.
Mm-hmm.
He's not coming by. We need to have a conversation. And now, this is, let's see, Reuters. President Biden may soon face increased pressure from Democrats in Congress to drop out. At least 25 House Democrats are preparing to call for the president to end his reelection bid in the wake of the debate. This is from a Reuters report citing a House Democratic aide. Centrist House Democrats in competitive districts were so alarmed by Biden's infirmed appearance in last week's showdown that they are considering writing a letter to Biden. The lawmakers have been peppered with questions about Biden by constituents since returning to their districts for the House recess for the July 4th. I think polling shows 1 in 3 voting Democrats says it's time for Biden to step out. And they also have an all-hands-on-deck call apparently today with Biden's staff.
I wanted to mention that to you. Now, I saw there are over 500 members of the so-called staff. I doubt that they're all going to be in a ballroom somewhere. How about the reports now also that staff members say that dealing with Biden day to day, he can be so irritable, they're mm-hmm. scared blankless of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have people trying to advise him, but they feel they've got to be really careful what they say, what they bring up, because he's a cranky old guy that just jumps their stuff.
And we've seen that in some of the press interactions, right? And, you know, I'm no fan of the press, but Biden has snapped on them several times. Are we the press?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. We do suck, don't we? He's been snapping on them. That's been obvious as well, too. As far as Biden and Pelosi, so we'll start with, Obama and Pelosi. This is the Washington Post report. Former President Barack Obama has confided in his allies that President Biden's weak debate performance will make it more difficult for the commander-in-chief to win the White House in November. And the sky is blue also, he had to say. Obama already believed his former vice president's path to re-election was going to be a tough road. Remember, he didn't endorse Biden through much of the 2020 cycle.
That's true.
It came very, very late.
Yep.
Obama, according to the Washington Post, now feels Biden's election day prospects are even more precarious. Says Obama reached out to Biden after last week's debate and offered to serve as a sounding board and provide counsel as the 2024 race heats up. I also saw a report yesterday, and you know, before the debate last week, it came out with reports that Michelle Obama dislikes Biden and the Biden family. She never gave her endorsement over, and they said she's pulling together money. And I need to have this on hand, this report, but that she's going to start putting together a team to get money into Vice President Kamala Harris's coffers. Now,
wow.
There will be a big windfall if Biden drops out, and Jeff Poore has been all over this week. As far as campaign finance rules, his war chest that he's built up throughout this election, he can't just hand that over to a Gavin Newsom, a Gretchen Whitmer, a Pete Buttigieg.
He hands it to the party.
He could give it over to Kamala Harris.
Uh-huh.
I don't know the specifics of why, but she is the only one who can inherit that war chest as far as this election goes.
Interesting.
And so that's probably why she is, you know, the betting favorite as of this morning to be the new Democrat nominee. I mentioned Nancy Pelosi as well, kind of not as Team Biden as she was even last week. She was on CNN or MSNBC yesterday, and she said the questions about his mental health are real. Of course, she said you have to ask about Donald Trump's mental health too. And this clip here is that part of the Pelosi conversation, and then Corinne Jean-Pierre in yesterday's White House presser basically answering Pelosi's question, which was also coming from the press.
I think it's a legitimate question to say, is this an episode or is this a condition?
He had a cold and a bad night. I would not see this as an episode. I would see this as what it was and what we believe it to be, which is it was a bad night. And he did, on top of that, he had a cold. And that is the reality of the situation.
Yeah, and by the way, she was asked yesterday, well, was he medicated? And she said he did not take any cold medicine. So he has a cold. They didn't give him any cold medicine. And he also started campaigning and being around people afterwards.
This is like one of those updates you get from the nursery school where the kids go when they let you know every time something minute happens to your child.
Yes.
Has a sniffle or has to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
We're getting on Biden.
I get those reports often. Here's another. This was probably the most viral moment of yesterday's presser with Corinne Jean-Pierre. And she was asked directly about Biden's health, his mental health. And note the coughs here. I'm no conspiracy theorist, but I think there was some coughing going on in order to disrupt the flow of this gentleman's question mm-hmm. so that it wouldn't be used maybe in an ad down the road. But here you go.
Does President Biden, at 81 years old, have Alzheimer's, any form of dementia or degenerative illness that cause these sorts of lapses? And it's a yes or no question. And if you don't know, why don't you, as one of his senior staff members, know?
I have an answer for you. Are you ready for
it? Yes.
It's a no. And I hope you're asking the other guy the same exact question.
Yeah, so that was Corinne Jean-Pierre. And that was basically over and over the entire press conference yesterday. Mm-hmm. Answering for the debate on Thursday night.
How about Newsom? How about Whitmer? She's suddenly in a bad mood about this whole, you can slide in there for him. I guess she's mad about her text being released or
leaked. Yes, because she said now it's impossible to win Michigan. She sent that to someone on the Biden team. That got leaked.
Wow.
Because there's a lot of infighting among these potential candidates as well as they try to claw their way to that presidential nomination. So now she's acting like she's completely hands off. She's more worried about infrastructure in Michigan. Let's go to the phone lines if we can. Oh, all right. We'll go to the phones after the break.
All right.
251-343-0106. But Obama, Pelosi, now scrambling a little bit. You have Michelle Obama saying she's going to raise some money for Kamala, and 25 House Democrats. They plan to write a letter asking Biden to step down. Could it come today?
A lot of division. There was a lot of division before the debate with Palestine and Israel. Look at the Democratic Party right now.
Mm-hmm.
8:21 with Dan and Dalton. Morning from Dan and Dalton and FM Talk 106.5. 8:24. Mobile Mornings. It was Gary Palmer or Mike Rogers, one of the reps from upstate. And then yesterday on Jeff Poore's show, Congressman
Jerry Carl,
he thinks or suspects possibly that whole thing, that whole charade was exactly what the Democrats wanted.
Yeah,
and that's kind of a cruel idea, isn't it?
Well, we talked about that here before the debate. We floated that theory and talked about it some, and I could see how that was a real possibility.
Watching it in real time, it was like, if that is like this is what they wanted, mm-hmm. Boy, there's no end to the low that politics can go.
Well, we knew that already, right?
I guess.
Texter here, nonviolent, methodical, political coup. Damn Yankee says it sounds orchestrated because it most likely is. The Democrats' shadow strategy is the only thing that's transparent. I don't think it's well orchestrated. And Dan and I were talking about this during the break.
Yeah, it's kind of like
they would have had a cleaner plan post-debate because this is, it's almost like a front in a war where you don't have communication and you're kind of just looking to your left and your right and you're like, all right, are they going to go? When do we go?
So Dalton and I were saying during the break, basically, well, there's a difference between orchestrated and well orchestrated. Maybe in some ways this was kind of a play out of a playbook, but they're not executing it well because, like you say, there's so many. We've seen this in the Republican Party as well, where the factions square off against each other and don't get a whole lot done. But it seems like there's limitless factions in the Democratic Party right now.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it just seems wider and wider and more voices with more dissenters and more people who are completely against what another Democrat's got to say or think on nearly anything.
Cheesewagon says Harris would inherit the money from Biden because it's the Biden-Harris campaign. When he falls out, it's still her campaign. And I think if he does drop out of the campaign, there's no other way for him to do it but to go ahead and leave the presidency. And then we would immediately have our first female president, obviously, in Kamala Harris. But he has to give her that runway, I think.
Right, that runway would potentially help her in the election itself. And the other thing that, you know, I've been screaming from this whole thing is we're talking about he's not a fit candidate. I'm saying he's not a fit, if he's not a fit president, aren't we more concerned about that? The heck with what happens in November. If he's going to walk away from this campaign, certainly he should step down from the presidency itself.
Yes, I agree. John says if Joe Biden wanted, could he put the war chest money in his pocket and keep it? I don't think so.
I think that's a Biden tendency.
But again, I don't know the intricacies of campaign finance law. Steve says the Democrats are not surprised at all. Getting out Biden has been part of the plan the whole time. They plan to sneak someone in at the last minute. Remember, back in 2022, Sean and I were doing the New Year's resolution guesses for what would come in the future, and I had three. Said Tucker Carlson would be relieved at Fox News.
Happened.
Sean went, what? No, he's their highest biller. What are you talking about? And I said, they're going to find a way to get Tucker Carlson out. I said Nick Saban would retire before we get to the 12-team playoff.
Man, you're three for three, huh?
And I said Michelle Obama would be the Democrat candidate.
Ah, okay.
And that they'd get Biden out. And I thought it would happen sooner than this. And right now it doesn't look like it'll be Michelle Obama. But very close.
Yeah.
And let's see. Cindy says, granted, he was out of office, but President Reagan had so much class when he wrote a letter telling Americans about his Alzheimer's. And, you know, that might be the Biden move here to get out. And Toothless Bammer, we didn't vote for the country to be ran by Jill or the White House staff. How about those reports that Hunter Biden has been since Monday?
He's on deck. He's there.
He's attending meetings at the White House.
Yeah.
And all of these leaks, which shows you how in disarray everything is over there. And they're saying, what the hell is he doing here? And one of my favorite tweets was, they're letting a convicted felon in these White House meetings.
Was that somebody who was in the meeting tweeting that out?
Somebody on the Biden campaign staff who were in the meeting, that said that was what was happening. So, things going nuts in the Biden White House. I said it earlier this week, if I were a Democrat, if I were, you know, someone who wanted the Democrats to win, I would have him do it this week. It's a long weekend starting tonight.
Yeah.
And everyone's off. There's no Jesse Waters at Fox News. There's no, you know, I'm sure a bunch of different main anchors are taking the week off.
Yeah.
And you also have, it's July 4th. For the good of the nation, I'm stepping down as president. Age finally got to me. I could see that being the move.
Yeah. On Fox, the five this week is the 2.5. They just they don't have enough to go around.
They don't.
Everybody's vacation. 8:30 FM Talk 106.5. More on all this straight ahead.
Thanks, Kane. 8:34 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. And Independence Day week/weekend. And I know you guys at McConnell Automotive have a bunch of rides that some folks would probably like to take down to the beach or elsewhere.
Or pull one of those nice boats they have now. We've got some great selection of new GMC Sierras out there, man. Like I said, half tons, three-quarter tons, diesels, gas. Got the greatest selection on the Gulf Coast, I think. And got some great deals on some used cars. You can check that stuff out online, McConnellAutomotive.com. And we're going to be closed tomorrow. And like you said, I hope everybody has a safe 4th. And we'll be here Friday and Saturday. So come by and see us.
Yeah, and the website doesn't close, of course. That's McConnellAutomotive.com. And quick update, you guys are also building on to the body shop, right?
That's right. I was just back there just a few minutes ago. They just fixed a car for me, and they got all kind of construction work going back there. Thomas and all the guys and girls back there will take care of all your needs, too, so give them a call, 251-476-4141.
All right. Yeah, it's that easy, and with this kind of traveling weekend, a lot of dings and bumps on vehicles, so get it over to McConnell. We appreciate your time, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Raddick. Go see him at McConnell Automotive. They're located on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Okay. Chris says Joe forgot that he had a cold, all his travel as well.
Yeah. So yesterday, this was Biden's excuse, and he was at a where was he? He was speaking to some donors or voters. He said that the reason he had a rough debate was because of his foreign travel. He said it left him so tuckered out, he nearly fell asleep during the debate. But, he had 13 days from all of his traveling, and then he had the full week at Camp David where they said he wouldn't begin debate prep at Camp David until 11 a.m. every morning, and they also gave him an afternoon nap every day. And his team is saying, well, actually, he was doing the work of the presidency before that. He would get a vigorous workout in, and then he would do the work of the presidency, and then he would begin the debate prep.
But yesterday, they rolled out the Heat website.
Heat.gov. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And that's to let people know that it's hot outside.
Yeah. And so Sean was on, and I texted the show and said, I just walked all around Spring Hill College. If you want to know about the heat right now, I've got a T-shirt that now weighs about 12 pounds with my sweat in it. So anyway, he did not allow me on the show.
That's heat.dan. Heat.dan.
Yeah, I've got a daily report.
Pictures of Dan post walk every day.
Oh,
at
my
heat.
God.
Dan.
Oh, my God.
Big week. Let's get through these texts and then we'll talk some Independence Day. Let's see. Ricky. Hey, Ricky. Trump was a Democrat all his life. This proves they're all in bed together, and I hope next time they all get their boosters, all three shots, America is dead and needs to be destroyed. Ricky.
Okay.
I read it as it read. Chris says, Hunter Biden is the smartest guy Joe knows. Why not? And then, the new excuse that he was tuckered out from his travels overseas. Joel says, I guarantee you Joe Biden is not going to step down. Watch what I tell you. If he does, I'll come on the air and I'll say I was wrong, but I guarantee you a case of beer, he's not going to step down. Joe Biden is not going to allow it to happen. And that's all that's left, right, is whether Biden steps down or not. And I'm not even going to try to provide a prediction on that.
Is the most powerful man in the world really that? Does he have that kind of power? Because that's right.
But right.
President of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, or woman, I guess, could be one day. But in any event, is he really that? But when you look at the debate, if there's any president that has been certainly compromised, it would be the one that we have in there right now. And so it seems, could the forces around him say, hey, man, it's over?
Yeah.
I think they could.
Well, the question is he going to stay in and lose? I guess there's still a chance he stays in and wins, but you thought there were questions about the 2020 election. If Biden stays in and wins, even with it, and they're now leaking Democrat polls, so not like Morning Consult or New York Times or Fox News, they're leaking internal polls, which shows him down in every battleground state. So he either stays in and loses, he gets out, quote unquote, honorably, which gives the Democrats a chance to get someone else in there and maybe win in November. Or he's forced out and he brings the party down with him. He says, I didn't want to leave. This is a coup and this isn't what I wanted. They're forcing me out. Then the Democrats have to answer for why for the last decade they've been saying Trump is the end of democracy, yep, and you have to obey the will of the voters, and then they force out the leading Democratic candidate.
Should they do it on July 6th so there's some symmetry there, January 6th, July 6th?
Maybe so. This texter, the candidate that comes out of the convention will be the nominee. Maybe, but you have that $230, $250 million war chest that's also questionable as well, which apparently only Kamala Harris can get her hands on as far as a presidential nominee. So we'll see where it goes. I think that this weekend will be, I think by Monday, we will know definitively whether it's Biden staying the course or someone else will be getting in there. That's my prediction. I also predict we're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow, wherever you celebrate for Independence Day. And kind of a roundup, this is GulfCoastMedia.com, great website if you haven't checked it out. They have all kinds of really great news, a lot of it focused on Baldwin County.
Yeah, they do a good job.
And so they've kind of laid all this out there. City of Mobile's 4th of July celebration, this will be at the Battleship Memorial Park. USS Alabama will serve as the backdrop for the City of Mobile's annual 4th of July celebration. They'll kick off with live music, Simone French, and the Truey Troop at 6:30.
By the way,
tomorrow.
Yes. Love her. She's great.
And that's awesome. Yeah. At the Battleship, playing some music.
Mm-hmm.
6:30 is when the music starts. Get Sideways at 7:45 p.m. And then fireworks at 9 p.m. Parking is $5. That is at the USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park. Going down the list here, Summerdale Annual Independence Day. Oh, that's come and gone. So that was on last Saturday. They did that thing in Summerdale. For Bay Minette, they're doing it today, it looks like. The Bay Minette Rotary Club annual fireworks display, not to be missed. This year's event will include free giveaways, food trucks, and more. This will be in Bay Minette at the Sports Complex on West 13th Street. They said it starts at dusk tonight, is free to attend. The Wharf on Main Street, they'll have fun activities for the whole family. We did that when we went to Gulf Shores just after Memorial Day. You know, they have at the Wharf there, I think Monday nights they call it Red, White, and Wharf, or Red, White, and Blue. I don't know, some witty name. They have so much stuff for the kids to do down there.
Really?
It was a great afternoon / evening.
That's our buddy Jim Cox down there.
Camel rides, mm-hmm, bubble party, face painting, all the fun you can have. And the kids also had fun.
Nothing says America like a camel ride.
But the Wharf will be doing Independence Day tonight. Wharf's Main Street will fill with... surely these aren't wrong, doing a bunch of Wednesday night fireworks. Wharf's Main Street will fill with fun activities for the whole family to enjoy ahead of the fireworks and Spectra Laser Light Experience, which begins at 8:45 p.m. Dress in your red, white, and blue. Enjoy the bubble truck, mm-hmm, bounce houses, balloon artists, juggler, and reptile bus. All right, that's awesome. And DJ Matt spinning dance tunes. So that's starts at 5 this evening at the Wharf.
That's cool. I like
fireworks
that.
At night. Fairhope, they're doing it tomorrow, as God and our founders intended, the annual 4th of July celebration. Full evening event at Henry George Park for the Baldwin Pops Independence Day concert. That fits, right? And I saw the Mobile Pops do it for so many years. Having the orchestra, or whatever they're called,
mm-hmm, yeah,
out there playing patriotic music, that to me is just perfect.
Well, has it been, when's the last time you took the family over to Fairhope to the pier?
Maybe
it's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's such an incredible setting.
Mm.
It just is incredible. And the parks that line along the to either side of the pier, along the waterfront, it is. You come down the hill, and I once saw like a pep rally for the Fairhope football team. They were having a really good season, and it was down there, too. It was like Americana,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a perfect setting for
it, It's a great setting.
So the fireworks set to take off from Fairhope Pier at 9 p.m. They said Bayfront Park areas fill quickly and traffic will be heavy, so please pack your patience, mm-hmm, along with your lawn chairs. That's at Henry George Park and the Fairhope Pier fireworks. OWA doing their thing, and that'll be all weekend. OWA Parks and Resort, weekend full of family fun. Dive-in movie, live music, incredible fireworks show, July 6th. Uncle Sam will be there for photo ops. Let's see.
Where's that now?
That's at OWA.
Okay.
That they're doing that.
Okay.
And they said the downtown OWA events are free to attend. Let's see. In Fairhope, July 4th jam at American Legion Post 199, one of the best Bayfront venues to enjoy the fireworks, enjoy the live music, grab cocktails at the Tiki Bar, splash in the bay. So I guess they'll be watching the Fairhope fireworks from American Legion Post 199.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
City of Daphne, in annual Independence Day fireworks display at the Al Trione Sports Complex. Synchronized music through the radio. That'll be tomorrow night, 9 p.m. fireworks show at the Sports Complex in Daphne. Free to attend. Magnolia Springs' biggest little 4th of July parade rolls through town at 10:30 tomorrow morning. After the parade, everyone invited to an All-American hot dog lunch at the Magnolia Springs Fire Station. That's also free to attend. City of Gulf Shores' annual fireworks show, easily seen up and down the coast. I've seen that. Fireworks will launch from the Gulf State Fishing and Education Pier. Spectators encouraged to gather at Gulf State Park and the eastern area of the Gulf Shores Public Beach for the best viewing experience. That fireworks show starts tomorrow night at 9. And you also have in Lillian the July Jamboree, Casabomb Farms hosting a fun-filled afternoon of 4th of July festivities, free petting zoo, yard games, and a watermelon seed-spitting contest.
Okay.
If you get hungry, snow cones. Well, that doesn't really fill the hunger, does it? Well, snow cones and hot dogs will be available for sale. And that is in Lillian at the Casabomb Farms Produce on County Road 91. They'll do that on Saturday beginning at 3 p.m.
I like the seed-spitting contest. That's pretty cool. Also, the American Legion in Fairhope, not to make this a commercial about Fairhope, that's the coolest American Legion in America,
really?
I believe. Right there on the wall. It's really, really cool.
And did I tell you, Floribama, also an Independence Day celebration. They'll have a run, a fireworks display, and the introduction of a new Coastal Cruiser private party barge and the Bama Breeze Dolphin Cruiser. So they'll have their annual Freedom Run. It's a 4 mile or a 1 mile run and takes you along a scenic route. So that'll be happening. And then the fireworks extravaganza tomorrow night above the floor. Bam. All kinds of great things happening around here.
So I returned to the office the other day, and I think I was a little, well, dismayed.
Dismayed.
When I returned?
Yeah. Yeah, I could see it in your eyes.
So I went to get...
And your hair.
You can see it in my hair. If my hair's dismayed, that's their fault.
Yeah.
Went to Sport Clips.
Oh, yeah.
Sport Clips, that's the name of it, right?
That's the place where they play sports while you get your hair cut.
Yeah, and you see Stephen A. Smith yelling at Shannon Sharp and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I go that time of the morning, so that's what's on.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of annoying, but I got the haircut, and she was a very gracious young lady. Happy to do business with her. There was no sports on.
What?
Now, they had the TV for... One TV was on, but it was like on Nat Geo, and they had a guy in a cage. You know when they put a guy in a cage and they lower him into the ocean to go aggravate a big shark?
Yeah, shark. Well, Shark Week's next week.
Okay, well,
this is the run-up.
This is the run-up to that, I guess. And they would dump him in. They would lower him down there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the sound was down, so I couldn't make out what exactly was going on.
That's what was happening.
They lower him down in this cage, a cage where the bars are far enough apart where the shark can get part of his face into the cage, which I thought, you need bars a little bit closer.
Yeah.
So then when they would pull him back up, I would be thinking to myself as I was getting a haircut, well, that's the end of that, certainly. No, after the commercial break, they lower him back down.
Dunked him back in.
Some sort of modification.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was down there to get the very dramatic and violent footage while he's in the cage, and the shark is big, and he's just rocking his world. And I'm thinking, what's the point of all this?
Yeah.
Of course, without the sound up, I didn't exactly catch any of the real story.
Well, you know, for like at least 10 years, they've taken Shark Week as far as it can go. The only next thing they can do for Shark Week to make it even more entertaining would to have someone eaten by a shark. That's the only I don't know if they just do reruns every year now or what.
I think we've
taken the shark game as far as it can go.
I think that this was as close as you could get to shark eating somebody. And every time they hoisted him up, and I thought, well, certainly that's the end of that now. No. So as long as 15, 18 minutes I was getting my hair cut. No sports at Sports Clips.
Shark Clips.
Shark Clips, and that might have been, you're right, Shark Week is on the way.
I've wondered if those nice ladies who cut the hair in there just get sick of seeing Stephen A. Smith.
Yell at Shannon Sharp.
Yeah, and around the horn.
Yeah,
and
let's see. Let's, this hour we'll examine whether Caitlin Clark is white or not. Yeah, well, she is. It's 8:49 FM Talk 106.5 with Mobile Mornings.
Yep, and coming up, we'll check in with Jeff Poor as the Jeff Poor Show is on the way here in just about 15 minutes.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:54 on Mobile Mornings. And here comes the Jeff Poor Show.
That's right, the Jeff Poor Show, 9 a.m. And he joins us, as he does every Wednesday. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
First question. Independence Day tomorrow. You got the two kids. Are they going to be shooting fireworks, or are they not old enough
one's
for that
like,
yet?
One's like 3 months old.
we'll probably go somewhere and watch fireworks, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure how a 5 months old, but yeah. How a 5 month old will react to the sky booms.
Yes.
But he doesn't seem bothered by much at all, actually.
And the other one's been to like 9 rock concerts, so he's good to go.
And NASCAR.
Yeah, he's like fired them off in the backyard. I'm like, where did you get fireworks? And he's like, I don't know. Well, it was fun. Give me a match.
Yeah, last year I just trusted by him with the little poppers. You know, you throw down, pow.
Yeah.
And they immediately started throwing them at me. So
You have
my trust was misplaced.
It often is in that household.
It is. So your show coming up here, Jeff, and who do you have coming on today?
Yeah, Chris Elliott is usually our Friday guest, but since no show Friday, we'll move him up to today. Joey Clark, as we do every Wednesday, and Congressman Barry Moore, since haven't had him on since the debacle that was last Thursday.
Yeah, so, and since then, it's been a, well, we're trying, the discussion on the text line has been, is this an organized coup from the Democrat Party? It seems very disorganized to me, even if the plan was to trot Biden out there on Thursday and see if he still had it. But now you have all of these leaks, Pelosi on the air yesterday saying a question needs to be asked about his mental health. Obama this morning, they're saying he now thinks it's going to be a tougher road to hoe after the debate.
Yeah, they came out kind of positive over the weekend, and now they're starting to slide a little bit.
Two House Democrats have officially said that Biden needs to step out. And then in a report from Reuters, they said 25 plan to write a letter asking Biden to drop out of the campaign. Does it happen this week, or does Joe and Hunter and Jill and Val, they all stick the course?
We're in the window here. It's either going to be Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, I think, because you get the, I think you brought it up, you get the cushion for the news cycle here with the 4th of July holiday. I mean, it's not going to be much of a cushion. This is going to be earth-shattering, big news. But from what I can tell, the family is hunkered down. They're going to fight it. The Bidens are going to fight it. They're going to fight any efforts to unseat him from the nomination, it looks like.
Fighting it can only make it worse for the Democrats, correct?
Yeah, I think so. It's not a good look. You're going to divide the Democratic Party, and Trump's going to have an easier path in.
So, and then you were the one who brought up the campaign cash and how, well, if Whitmer or Newsom or whoever jumps in, federal campaign finance laws won't allow that war chest to go to them, but it can go to Kamala. And now she is the, according to whatever the political betting site is, I forget the name of it, but she is the odds-on favorite to be the Democrat nominee as of this morning.
Yeah, I would think that piled on with the racial aspect of this and, you know, taking the black female off the ticket for a white guy is not going to go well in the African-American community. They are stuck with Kamala Harris if they do this.
Yeah, and so then Kamala Harris, you know, there's a lot of opinion on her out there, even though she hasn't really been front and center very often. The borders are that doesn't know where the border is, et cetera. That's got to make it tougher for a Democratic win, too.
Yeah, I think so. I just there's all these moving parts and pieces. The problem is, it's fascinating. There's a handful of members of the House Democratic Caucus that are, you know, Lloyd Doggett was the first, and that's not insignificant. That's LBJ's old congressional district. He's sort of this senior elder of the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives, but like. Guys, like you look at like who's like openly doing this, and it's all media people mostly.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people who are sticking with Biden is it's elected officials. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, a bunch of horse-faced pony soldiers, if you ask me, out there that are going after Biden. What about down ticket? Do you think that all of this means the Republicans have a good chance of sweeping?
I definitely. Now let's look at AL2 for example. The AL2 guys. It's not going to be determined by Shamari figures or Caroline Dobson. It's going to be upticket Biden-Trump.
Interesting. That's that's what a lot of Democrats like Shamari Figures no doubt are fearing. All right, man, thanks for hopping on with us, and we'll get your show going here in just a moment.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, Jeff Bohr Show on the way in minutes. That does it for Mobile Mornings. Tomorrow morning, a special Fisher House presentation for our Independence Day holiday. Everyone have a great 4th.